Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of love, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, empowerment. And we're so glad to have you with us tonight. We're excited because we are working with Dr. Charles Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. And the Word of God is just leading us, and we're growing, and he's teaching us about prayer. And we are just having a wonderful time. In the epilogue, we've talked about the power of prayer. We've talked about how to pray successfully. We talked about the golden keys of prayer. And tonight we're going to deal with some really, 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 really good information. We're going to talk about the epilogue, finish that, and we'll talk about what it means to be saved in hope. Praise God for that. But before that, we're going to have our devotion, and we'll start off with prayer. And following that, we will have scripture, then we'll have a song, and then we'll have intercessory prayer. And then after intercessory prayer, we will begin our study. God is so good, and I'm so excited and glad that you're here with us tonight. So let's go, let's go, let's go. All right, all right. God, we come before you tonight, and we are walking through the throne room. We're coming into your presence, and we see the splendor, and we see the beauty of your palace. Lord, we praise you. We magnify your name. And we are so excited about being in your presence, about coming into your place. Because, Lord, we're learning so much. And as we learn, we're learning even to acknowledge you. We're learning to reverence you. We're learning that everything that we're coming into, Lord, is teaching us and growing us. And that's an excitement in itself. And as we move and learn and grow, we start to honor you and we praise you in a special way. And as we're doing that, we think about your throne room. We think about in Revelations where it talks about the sea, the emerald sea in front of the throne. We think about the beauty. We think about the lamps stands. We think about your children and your people who are learning this, how John is bringing the word to us and how we're standing on it, Lord. Just asking, Lord, that as we come before you, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us permission that when we ask this prayer that it would be the blood of Jesus that covers it so that you would hear. And, Lord, we learned even last time that we don't have to be ashamed because when you tell us you mandate that we call upon you, that's exactly what we're doing tonight. We're calling upon you so we have a holy expectation that as we call upon you, we are going to get an answer to the very thing we're asking for, your presence tonight, your empowerment tonight, the revelation of your word tonight so that it fits in our heart and that we glean so much that when we leave, we're excited and filled with the Holy Spirit. So we are thrilled as we come before you because we have holy expectancy that is going to be a great time in the Lord. Well, we thank you for our speaker and our teacher tonight, Bishop Michael, who's going to lead and we'll all support. We thank you for the scripture reader, Miss Margaret, who is going to read with passion and power that you give her as she understands and is loving of your word. You know, we come convicted that you, O God, are the one and only God who will lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. And because of that passion, we hope that the world can hear and see and know that this panel of people who are talking about your word love you tremendously. So we thank you, Lord, as we ask you to continue to walk with us tonight. And as we go forward, we ask that the matchless name of Jesus would be heralded all throughout the world and that people would know that you are the only God to serve. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen and amen.
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 The scripture.
Yes. The scripture comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And the second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 24 through 25. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. amen and amen. Ooh.
Amen.
I worship you, Lord, because of who you are.
Amen.
And now it's
amen.
Time for our intercessory prayer.
Amen. Are there any prayer requests that we might have at this time?
Well, good evening, Bishop. It's Margaret from Florida.
Hi, Margaret. Yes, ma'am.
I have a prayer request for my grandsons who had the tubes placed in their ears this morning, a prayer for healing and that they wouldn't have hearing loss or that their infections would greatly diminish. And I want to give a praise report. Been traveling and had a wonderful trip and spent several visits to a couple of churches, including one King Street Baptist Church in Cocoa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to ask for a blessing for that church, which is serving the needy in a rough neighborhood. And also for a church called Blue Water Community Christian Church in Isla Mirada, Florida Keys, where the pastor is retiring, and they will be getting a new pastor, so a blessing for that congregation as it adjusts. And also a prayer for my mother, whose leg is not healing, for the healing touch of the Lord to her leg for a wound that she incurred several weeks ago. She needs the healing touch in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God is able. Not only is he able, but he's willing. Amen.
Amen.
Are there any other prayer requests?
This is Dr. Susie and Indy. I want a couple of things. I want to lift prayers for my particular job opportunity and job. And I ask that you would lift prayers for my children, James and Sydney. And just ask that, you know, God's will would be done in my life, asking for those of you who are out there who are praying that you would lift up prayers for my health. So I'm asking for that specifically on the 15th of February, just asking for special prayers. Want to give a praise report. I was able to, my son was, we prayed for my son to get a car. So James got a car.
Right.
So we thank God for the
praise
car.
God.
So we did get
praise
an answer
God.
To. Yeah, he got a car. And he is mobile now. So we have to continue
prayer.
What else? I did want to ask for revival for the church, our normal request that we have revival for the church. And, you know, our country is still going through some challenges with police and the still conversations about Tyre Nichols and the behavior. There have been instances with kids in schools, and there was another young man who took a gun to school that's been in the news. So, you know, I do support people being able to use their Second Amendment right, but I would like people to be more, pray that they would be more protective of their children getting access to these guns. Because, you know, that with the kid who shot the teacher in the stomach, and you know, the kid, I think the kid was like in Ella, like 13 or 12 or something like that, that took the gun?
He was 6
was
years
he,
old.
Oh, thank you. Which one? Is that the new one?
The new one is
so
the 13-year-old.
That's what I was saying, 13. That's why I thought he was a teenager.
Okay.
The old one was
okay.
a 6. Yeah. So I'm talking about the new
yeah.
situation where the kid brought the gun to school. So we need to,
yeah.
to kind of batten that down so that children don't have access, or that we, if we're going to do that, we need to put those, what do you call those things, those machine detectors, metal detectors, when they come in
mm-hmm.
school, so they can't be bringing stuff in there. You know, so that people can
yeah.
feel that they can go to school and learn without having to worry about if they're going to get shot or somebody's going to get shot. You're trying to teach kids that have attitudes, are they going to be able to shoot you when they don't like what you say? So asking for those prayers.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And Bishop, one last final
yes.
request for the people in the Syrian-Turkish border who suffered
yes.
that terrible earthquake, tremendous loss of life, prayers for the survivors, for the families seeking the lost. We pray
mm-hmm.
your blessing, Lord, that many will come to help and provide for those who are in need
oh.
there today.
And
thank you,
Margaret, for saying that, because it reminded me of the balloon situation, that we need
mm-hmm.
to be praying for relationships
yeah.
with that, because that seems like a setup. So we need
yeah.
to pray for that.
Yes. Yes. And that's the Holy Spirit, because that was my prayer request. Because, you know, they're doing a lot of saber rattling around the world. And so, yeah, it's exactly, you know, the Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And those of us who are praying could see right through that ruse, because there's navigational aids on that particular balloon. It had a rudder and a propeller. Hello. And so God is able. Not only is he able, he's willing, and he's ever present. So let's go to the Lord. Lord, we bless you for this opportunity to come into your palace and to your very throne room, where the 24 elders are there, and the angels and the seraphim and the cherubim are there, God. And we thank you that we have this awesome privilege and this right to come boldly before your throne of grace. We extol you, we exalt you, we love you, we adore you, we bless your holy name, Lord God, and we thank you for who you are in our lives. Just like this song said, Jehovah Yireh, the Lord who provides for us. We thank you that you're Jehovah Shalom. You are peace, God. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're the one that heals us, God. And you cleanse us from all of our diseases. We bless you and we honor you and we praise you. We glorify you. We honor you. Lord, we thank you for Margaret's grandsons, Lord. Thank you that they're precocious and they're active and they're lively and they're funny and they bring joy to their grandmother and their grandparents, God. We thank you for them. We thank you for the joy. Thank you for the laughter. But now, God, we pray that you would lay your whole hands on both of them, God, for
thank
the tubes
you.
That were being placed in their
yeah.
ears, God, that there would be no diminishing of their ability to hear. And we take authority over this infection, you found
thank
tormenting
you.
Situation.
Yes.
We come against it right now in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood of Jesus over these ears, God. We thank you that you're able to do it in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we lift up Margaret's mom and we cause this infection to dry up in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
Thank you, Lord.
We command it to dry up, God. You said that we can call those things which are not as though they are. And we thank you that there is healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift
yes,
up
Lord.
These people, the loss of life, My goodness, Lord, the loss of life and the body toll keeps on mounting, God. We pray for those countries that are impacted because what happens over there impacts us over here. Lord, bless the family. Give them consolation. And, God, even over in that area where it's hard to evangelize, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would send the right people with the right, and yes, Lord, even send angels to visit those that are wondering where you are, and you would send the messengers, God, to where they would know that God is still on the throne and Jesus Christ is the way, Lord God. We lift them up before you right now, and you're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think, because out of ashes, God, you're able to bring beauty out of ashes. That's what your word says. And that you could be, you're able to spring a well in the middle of a desert, God. And even in this sorrow time, you can bring joy out of sorrow. And we bless you and we glorify you and we honor you. We lift up these countries. We lift them up. Every nation, God, that is represented on this Bible study, God. Lord, every continent, Lord, Africa, Asia, Europe, the Americas, Antarctica, Australia, God. Lord, touch, heal, deliver, save, set free by the power of God. We lift up Dr. Susie and her job, Lord. Lord, you put a hedge of protection around Dr. Susie, God. We bless you and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we lift up Dr. Susie's family, Lord, James and Sydney, God, and James Sr., Lord. Touch, heal, deliver, grant to them the things that they need the most. And, Lord, we saved the date, February 15th. And, Lord, we thank you for the good report. Whose report shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. And your report says we're healed, that we're saved, that we're delivered. And your report says we have victory in the name of Jesus. And we touch and agree, Lord, for revival. Oh, glory to God. In the church universal, we pray for revival in Africa and in Asia and in Europe. And in the Americas, North America, South America, we thank you for the glory of the Lord being revealed in every corner of the world, God. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for the leaders of the church, God, and the members of the church, that you would cause the fire of the Holy Ghost to be within us and be on our words, be in our prayers, be in our testimonies. Be in our lives. Let the people see your good work and give glory to you, God, in heaven through our conversation, through our lifestyles. Lord, we lift up the police all over the nation, God, that they would not just shoot and then ask questions later. Lord, remove that rogue element. Remove that rogue element in the police department, God. Lord, that bully element. Cause this young man, Tyree Nichols, to be murdered for something silly, something that was just not even a reason. There was no reasonable cause for deadly force. That was abuse. It was murder that we saw on television. Lord, we pray for the families, all family members that are involved in this situation. God, help them, we pray, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, this gun violence and the Second Amendment, Lord, help us to bring sense out of nonsense, Lord. 6 years old, kid brings a gun to school and shoots his teacher. 13 years old, kid brings a gun to school. Lord, help us today. Help us today. Even in Tulsa, someone was let into a building in Tulsa, and the school did not have to go on lockdown. But, Lord, there is a murderous spirit that is lurking about every corner of the earth, seeking whom they may devour, but we bind it in the name of Jesus. We give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up the youth of this present day who are, they have no direction. send the right ministers across their path, Lord. And, Lord, even in the world with all this saber rattling and even with this situation with the balloon, that is a ruse by the enemy to do something sinister. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We declare it illegal in the earth realm, God. And we loose your love, your power, your spirit, your grace, Lord, your ability. We come against it in Jesus' name, and we stand against it. And, Lord, I lift up William, my brother, that, Lord, you would make a way for him, as he expressed to me tonight. Lord, make a way for him to be able to go to that place where he desires and take him out of the place where he is and take him to a better place. And we declare and decree it in Jesus' name. And, Lord, finally, I'm going to be personal. Lord, please help me find my wallet. You said where two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. So, Lord, we touch and agree that I'll be able to find my wallet in Jesus' mighty name. Save our unsaved loved ones, God, and bless our administration that's in office and bless our leaders. Touch them, lead them, and guide them. And, Lord, we come against any ungodly legislature in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we were talking about the epilogue, Mighty Man of God, his book. It's just tremendous. And I must say that my prayer life is changing. It's getting, there's more depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to when we start talking about prayer and we give simplistic definitions, but I mean, that's the best way for people to understand. It's simple. We're having a conversation with God. We're having not just a conversation, but we're having communication with God, the creator of the universe. Excited if we could have audience with a world leader. When I was in Gabon, the vice president's father wanted to meet with me over a sermon that I preached over there, and he wanted to meet with me. We weren't able to have the time to meet with him, but it was something that, you know, I was excited about that. The vice president of this country, his dad wants to talk to me. How much more should we be impressed? Should we be in awe? Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only known potentate, wants audience with us. He wants to talk to us. God desires, listen to this, how I'm getting ready to say, God desires our company. That's awesome. So in the epilogue, I'm going to start with, as we back up, and just briefly go through it. It is our right to pray. Come, Christian, you should never question whether or not you have a right to pray. Oh, but I messed up. You know what? Before you mess up, God knew you was going to mess up. God has today, yesterday, and tomorrow right before him right now. God lives in a continuous now. So nothing we say, nothing we do catches God by surprise. 9/11 didn't catch God by surprise. Coronavirus didn't catch God by surprise. HIV/AIDS did not catch God by surprise. The crucifixion did not catch God by surprise. Your health situation, it did not catch God by surprise. God knows. And so it is our right to pray. It says, may I be permitted, you know, you should never have to ask God, may I be permitted to come into your presence. When you have so many commands, and God's commands are all promises and enablings, you may come boldly, as we pray, before the throne of grace by new and living way through a rent veil. That veil, when the priest stood behind that veil to offer up sacrifices on the cross, that veil, when Jesus died, that veil was torn into. And a lot of us don't give attention to that veil, to that very scripture. And the veil, the partition, it was taken away. We have the right now. Amen? And so let's go further. God's answers to prayer. Let us now look at the second point. An answer is promised to the, you know, he said, call on me and I will answer you. You know, we can't be so simple. He says, I will answer you. God says, I'm going to answer you. When you call on me, I'm going to answer you. God didn't hear my prayer. Yes, God heard your prayer. Now, here's the thing. God, Margaret, how do you suppose that God answers our prayers?
Well, it's a divine process that is way beyond my understanding, but I see the fruits of it because prayer does change things. Sometimes people don't get what they asked for. It wasn't God's will for them. But sometimes they get way more than they could have asked or hoped for.
Come on.
Because it's God's amazing super power, supernatural power.
So Dr. Susie, when we're praying to God, what are some of the different ways that God can answer us?
Oh, God can either give us an automatic yes, we can have a no, and sometimes God says, wait.
Yeah, amen. Not now. Or, you know, and the
but
way
you do get an
the
answer
way sometimes.
And
go ahead.
You do get an answer, and the reason why it's important to understand that he has commanded that we call upon him. So we should have holy expectation that he's going to answer. The reality is if God told us to do it, we need to believe that the reason he told us is because he's got to answer.
Amen.
And sometimes that wait comes in the form of this. You're not ready for that yet. You know, you're not ready for that. I know of a man of God where he went up to this preacher. A kid came up to this man of God. He said, I want you to pray for me that God will open a door for me to go into big time ministry. He said, the Lord told me no. He says, what do you mean, no? He says, if you go out there right now like you are, the devil will eat you up alive. You don't have a prayer life. He was able to discern that this kid, you know, he sees the glitz and the glamour of worldwide international ministry. But there's a price you got to pay. Amen. So let's go on to the past character. God spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, Romans 8:32. If I were to mention 1,000 illustrations, I could give a better picture of the character of God than that one deed. However, not only in my inference, but the inspired conclusion of the apostle is, how shall we not with him so freely, how shall he not with him so freely give us all things? Oh, that's his false character. That's God's past character. And God says in Malachi, I am God. I change not. And, you know, well, that's Old Testament. Well, in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and for whatever.
Ever.
So the past character, forever. God's own promise. But beloved, we also have the Lord's own promise for it. He is a God who cannot lie. God cannot do what?
Lie.
God cannot
lie.
He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. There is no deceit. Hallelujah. There's no deceit in God. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 50:5. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. We cannot pray indeed unless we believe this doctrine. For he that comes to God must first believe that he exists. Hello.
Well,
Dr. Susie, what good would it do for us to go to God if we don't believe that God really exists? How fruitful is that?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's not fruitful. It doesn't make sense. It's you know, it's a waste of time. Why would you go to a place or anything that you don't believe? It's like, If I make an order, I place an order for to purchase something overseas. Why would I place an order if I didn't believe that I was going to get the produce or the product? And it's the same way when we have a relationship with God. If we can't come before the Lord believing that God is going to do what God said God's going to do, why do we go before Him? We don't. And that's why. That's why it says that when you call, you have a holy expectancy that God is going to do what God said God's going to do. He comes through with his promises.
And then he goes right here. Thank you so much. So it says here in this heading, our own experience. Furthermore, it is not necessary, but it may strengthen the point to add that our own experiences lead us to believe that God will answer it. Margaret, do you have a situation where God has answered your prayer and you pray for something else, leaning on the last experience?
Do I have a situation where I prayed and asked
mm-hmm.
the Lord, but I received something else? Is that what you said?
No. What? Well, so like you're praying for something, but you know, because God did this, you had the faith enough to know that God was going to do the thing that you were asking for.
I'd say that's every day, every prayer, I trust and believe, with the exception if it's not his will, and that I may not be aware of, because there are many things the Lord knows that I do not know. His wisdom is
mm-hmm.
much greater than mine. But
yeah.
I believe that the Lord will answer, and especially if it's for the good of the people I'm praying for. I trust and believe, and I've seen Him answer.
Amen.
God is amazing and powerful, and I
Amen.
Do. I've witnessed that He answers prayer throughout my life.
Yes. Here's something that He says: if no other being, no other human being can say it, I dare to say it, and I know it. Speaking of our own experiences, and I know that I can prove it. My own conversion is the result of long, affectionate, earnest, unrelenting prayer. My parents prayed for me. Somebody has that testimony on this line. Somebody's listening has that testimony. God heard their cries, and here I am to preach the gospel. Maybe you're not a preacher, but you're born again because of the prayers of somebody else. Since then, I have ventured on some things that were far beyond my mere capacity. That's what Margaret just said. But I have never failed because I have cast myself upon the Lord. Now, that's the best place you can cast yourself upon. Let's move on. Because we have experience. Each one of us have experiences. Dr. Susie has a Rio Grande experience where God did something mighty in her life, and we are reaping the benefits and fortunate enough that God touched Dr. Susie's life down there in the Rio Grande. You want to share a little bit of it, Dr. Susie?
Yes,
Serving the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? When you serve
ma'am.
The Lord, the reality is that as you go through life and still relationship with God, learned about exclamatory prayer, those quick prayers. At some point in time, I fell 40 foot from 40 foot into the Rio Grande, and it was in an area where they had crosses everywhere because people were dying from the undertow. And when I fell, all I did was say Jesus. And in saying Jesus, the Lord knew that I needed help. And so there was, I'm a fishing person. There was nothing to pull out on. There were no roots to grab onto. I was going out and towards the middle of the water, and I said, and I ended up on the bank. I did not crawl out. There was nothing to crawl out to.
Praise God.
And so the reality is that God will give us what we need. And just like that young man, what you said, he wasn't ready. God provided that for me because sometimes we need natural experiences to keep going and to believe and do different things. So God gives us according to what we have need. But we have to call.
Amen. So let's look at this. Come on, let's look at this. That's what prayer does. Prayer promotes deeper experience. Now, I know y'all, when we first got born again, we could pray those prayers, but the presence of God, there's something about the presence of God that makes you want to stay there. And when the presence of God lifts, you're like, wait, don't go. Please come back. So it's a deeper experience, and you want that experience again. Amen. It says, I will show thee great and fortified things which thou knowest not. Another one reads, great and reserved things which thou knowest not. So there's some things even now that we have not been able to tap into yet that God says, the apostle said, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it been to restore, revealed to the sons of men the things, plural, that God has for you. Now, all the developments in our spiritual life are not similarly easily to retain, to attain, but there's some things that God has in store for us. Another thing it says, prayer brings deliverance. Have patience with me while I apply this to two or three more situations. I'm not going to go into all, but it is certainly true of one suffering under trial. If he waits on God in prayer, he will receive greater deliverance than if he's never dreamed of. Great and mighty things which you don't know about. That's what prayer brings about deliverance. Anybody can tell me of a situation where you got out of something, you didn't know how you was going to get out of it, but you prayed? I think that's everybody on this line.
Yeah.
You know how you was going to get out of that. And a lot of times we think it is happenstance or circumstance, but then you look back and you say, oh, my goodness.
I have a memory. Got one. When my daughter was 7 years old, we went to Atlanta, Georgia to a concert. She was in the Fabulous mm-hmm. Leopard Percussionist, and we went mm-hmm. for a walk to a museum of Martin Luther King
mm-hmm.
from the train station. And it was mm-hmm. me and another parent who had it looked like he had that pigeon chest. He was smaller mm-hmm. than I am, and I'm not that tall. And we were the two of us walking with 6-7-year-olds through it was a bad neighborhood. And as we were walking, I saw about four men coming at us, just like piranhas in the Amazon River, from different angles, from different quarters. and they were all headed for us. And I just started praying. And just like that, as if it was a school of fish, they just took off in different directions, and they never made it to the mark where they were headed. So praise God. That was a wonderful day.
Amen. The next point I'm going to bring up.
And God preserved us.
Amen. Prayer makes us useful. And we know the story about Samson and the jawbone of the donkey. Now, that jawbone was useless in the anointing God on Samson. And, you know, well, when it was in Samson's hand, what could it do? It took care of some things. Now, the Bible says,
amen,
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, here's a situation. When I was in the Navy, and I was freshly born again, so I still had a little bit of the world in me. I still had this ability to, you know, you're going to get in my face, I'm going to let you know whose face you're in. But I was going to Bible study, and this guy was drunk. He got in my face. He said, yo, if he says anything to me, and his nose is touching my nose, he says, I'm gonna hit you with the most almightiest punch. I promise you. And I said, Jesus loves you. He said, I swear, if you, I'm going to hit you, so I said, Jesus loves you, brother. And he said it again, and I just said, Jesus loves you. And he just slammed the ashtray, this big ash can that had sand. He slammed it down, broke it. And, you know, I went on back, you know, went on to Bible study. So he saw me the next week, a week later, he saw me the next week. And he yelled down from the barracks to the courtyard, and he said, yo, Rev, God bless you, man. I said, well, bless you, too. He said, I'm up here reading the book of Revelation. I did not have the heart to correct him, but I knew what he meant. And it was in that moment, you know, that I could have, you know, I could have wiped him out easily, because I was a very strong man. I went to the weight room all the time, but I was in the, and my male pride was like, yo, dude, better get out of my face. But it was like, Jesus loves you. And so prayer makes us useful, is what I'm trying to say. At that moment, God used me, just like, and then he tells a story. Did anybody read that part where the little girl was in school and she's like, well, how do you do so well in school? The Lord used this girl. She said, I pray, and God, and she says, I pray to God to help me learn my lesson. Well, the other one, just she prayed to God, but she thought this was magic. We pray to God, but we have to apply ourselves. We pray for people to go and become great surgeons, but if they have never done this, what it takes to be a surgeon, or go through the process, come on, to be a good preacher. Mm-hmm. To be a good prayer warrior. We got to read books like this to become a great prayer warrior. So that is about where I, you know, this was the epilogue, and I'm going to read the last part of the epilogue. And it says, if you're seeking for salvation, if you're seeking for your own conversion, God has quickened you to solemn prayer about your own soul. And this is what I love about it. It's not just a short prayer. You are not content to go to hell. You want to go to heaven, but you want to be washed in the precious blood. You want eternal life. Dear friends, I ask you, take God himself speaks to us. Call unto me. This is how you get saved. And I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Take God at his word. Come home. Go into your room. Shut the door. Try him. Young man, I say, try the Lord. Young woman, prove him. See whether or not God is true. And if God is true, you cannot seek mercy at his hands through Jesus Christ and get a negative reply. Ooh, let me say that again. If God is true, you cannot seek mercy at God's hand through Jesus Christ and get No. Hallelujah. He must open mercy's gate to you who knock with all your heart, for his own purpose and his character binds him to it. May God help you believing in Jesus Christ and cry aloud to him, and his answer of peace is already on the way to meet you. It's already on the way. Those of you who are listening who want Christ as your Savior, you will hear him say, your sins, glory to God, which are many, are forgiven. That's found in Luke 7:47. Bless the Lord. The Lord bless you for his sake. Amen. And that concludes book three.
So the next book we're looking at is titled Finding in Life Storms. And how many of us have been through some storms? You know, we think about the biblical scripture where Peter just walked on the water. And Peter was the one in asking, Lord, can I come out on the water? And he had to trust the Lord, right? And what happened is, what happened to Peter? Anybody, what happened to Peter, Margaret? Do you remember?
Well, he looked away from the Lord. And he started to sink.
That's exactly right. And what happens when we're in storms, the purpose of a storm is to pull you down. Come on, somebody. Mm. The purpose of a storm is to pull you down. And so when we're going through storms in our lives, when we're going through high winds and struggles and trials that try to destroy us, to steal, kill, and destroy, when we endure those things, it's because Peter said, what did the Lord say? My eye on the Lord. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And so God tells us to call, and that's one of the points is, whenever you see encountering a storm, you call upon the name of the Lord. And when you call him, he will always be there. The scripture says that Margaret read, we're saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. So what's the definition of faith, y'all? For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we do not, then do we with patience wait for it. What's faith?
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
So it's not seen. We're saying it again. Hope and faith are working together, but neither of them is seen. But we have to believe. Do we operate in faith? Do we believe? And that's the whole point. We keep reiterating throughout this whole text, even the last chapter, is when you call on the Lord, you have to do what? What's the B word?
Believe.
Believe.
You got to believe. You got to believe that God will stand and honor God's promises. And so we know how much Jesus loved God, loved us, is that the Lord sent his son, and he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. He became the atoning sacrifice for that and did away with all of iniquity for all of God's people for all times. And you know that had to be a big price. When it said that the moon rolled away in a judgment hemorrhage, isn't that what the old folks said, the scripture? The moon rolled away when the weight of the world was on him. And that's the only time that we read in scripture that Jesus was separated from God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you've been with eternity and in the Trinity forever, then all of a sudden you separated from God? Lord, have mercy.
My God.
So he did that for you and I. So when we receive Christ by faith, we immediately have access to God. And so that's why he tells us to call him. And we delight in the Lord. And as we understand that relationship, I got to tell y'all this, is the more I grew and grew. When you were, just think back, when you were a young believer, we all sinned. And guess what? The the wages of sin is death. And we got some old believers, all of us. We still sin. We're not absolved of sin, but we do something different with it now. We repent immediately. You know, when you were younger, you were kind of like, oh, well, you know, I get to that, you know. But it's something about sin as you mature that it bothers you. You can't live in it. It's something about not wanting to be separated from God, because you know that sin separates you from God, and you don't know what life is going to bring. And so you're like, oh, no, I can't do that. Me and God got to be one-on-one. And that's what we know about David. Y'all remember David? When David was sinning,
yeah.
David sinned a whole lot. He sinned a whole lot. But the one thing that he knew, because he was a man after God's own heart, is that he did what? After every time he messed up, he ran, hallelujah, back to God. Ran back to God. And so the scripture passage in the 8th chapter of Romans says, we are saved by hope. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith not hope, is a saving grace, except that in some respects hope is equivalent to faith. And that's why we talked about what is faith, what is hope. They both are unseen. You have to have that unseen faith.
Yeah.
It's where you're between the already and the not yet, right? And so as we go through this, we're so saved that it says we may even yet remain something for which we may hope, both of salvation and glory. We receive salvation to a larger sense that we do not yet see. And for the present month, we find ourselves living inside temporary tabernacles. What does he mean by temporary tabernacle? What's that mean? What's a temporary tabernacle?
This body that we're living in is temporary. We get born again. We leave this earthly tabernacle. We are promised a glorified body. Hallelujah. Where we'll live forever and ever.
Amen. And Margaret, I think you were talking about the earthquake. We are witnessing today the travail, the groaning of the earth.
Yes.
We are witnessing the groaning of the earth. Earthquakes, tsunamis, mudslides, fires.
Mm-hmm.
We are witnessing the groaning of the earth. Everything around us, creation, is experiencing labor pains.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
yes.
I don't know if y'all believe it, but we need to remember it's time to get ready, time to get ready. Time to go. We see these tragedies, disasters, but they foreshadow a great that will be born as a result of these labor pains that we're having. They're labor pains. They are labor pains. And so what we've learned
very much so
is, even within ourselves, we are groaning, and the Spirit is waiting for something further, a glory not yet seen. Because we haven't attained salvation, but we're pressing on towards it. We complete salvation. The complete salvation, I think, is when we have had our glorified bodies. But, you know, we're in the process. We're in a sanctified position. We've accepted him, and we are saved by faith, yes. But our whole body, when we are fully holy saved, fully holy transformed, is when we're in our glorified bodies and we no longer have to worry about any form of sin. When we are with the Lord and we're in a changed state, oh, hallelujah, that day is coming. And we do not have to worry. Amen. It says we hunger and thirst for righteousness with this insatiable longing. Right?
Yes.
And that's what we have to look forward to. This our appetite, which the world can't satisfy anymore. Those of us who have a relationship with God, all we want is to be with the Lord. Our griefs, our loneliness, the things that have us unsatisfied, Dr. Spurgeon said it's in two categories. First, we long to be totally free from sin in every form, right?
Yes.
And second,
yes,
we long to be free from our physical bodies and to receive our resurrected bodies. That's when we are longing. We are longing from the freedom from sin. Because, see, as long as we're in this body, we will sin. As long as we're in this body, we fall short of the glory of God. So we have not reached full salvation because we still have some sin that said, now he's redeemed us and we're freed already. I'm not saying we're not. But when we have that transformed body, we no longer ever have to worry about sin anymore. Because, see, this world ain't our home. We're just traveling through. We're just passing through the barren land, the songs say. And we're looking for deliverance where we're taken out of this place, where we can dwell in perfect fellowship with our brothers and sisters who have also accepted Christ. This is among the things not seen in Hebrews 11:1 it talks about. So if a person were free from all tendency to sin, he would not be liable to temptation any longer. He would not need to guard against it. If something can't possibly be burnt or blackened, fire can't hurt it, right? So we have to feel that we have to avoid temptation because we're conscious that there's this kindling within us as Christians, as human beings. It's something within us, this sin within us, that can tempt us to fall short. And the prince of this world will do everything he can to ignite it. Who am I talking about when I say the prince of this world?
The evil one, Satan.
The evil one, Satan. It says when the enemy comes to us, he finds not only something, but much that he can use for his purpose. Now, that's because of who we are by our nature. We are fallen creatures, but thanks be to God that when we accepted our Lord and Savior, we were saved. It means that we will be able to go and live with God. We'll be able to be in his presence. We won't struggle with this sin thing anymore.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
When our old nature gets evil, it says, remains even in those who are redeemed. Come on, somebody. Y'all know.
Yes, Lord.
Every now and then. I'm patting my foot.
Yes.
You'll be driving in the car, somebody pull over, almost accidentally run into you. You may not say the best word. Come on. It's in there somewhere.
Yes.
Sometimes
it's almost like you was with me today.
Have mercy, Lord. Come on.
It's almost like he was there, Dr. Susan.
And you have to say, God, forgive me immediately.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because it's our old nature. It's the old nature. But that will always be with us until we get outside of this body and we're in our redeemed state. Right? And so, this is something I want to ask y'all a question. Why is it that we beat up on human beings when they fall short of the glory of God? I'm not saying that we shouldn't do our best at not sinning. I'm not saying that at all. But why is it that people actually believe that there's a human being on this earth that won't fall short? Come on, somebody help me. Because I don't care who you are. You can be a preacher, a teacher, evangelist. You can be the Pope. You can be, you're a human being. There is sin in human beings. Come on.
Because their sin is different from my sin, and God knows that I'm good with them. It's called self-righteousness.
Okay.
And the Bible says that all self-righteousness is as what? Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. But the thing is you got people. Yeah, people talk about being Christians, but look at him, he failed. Look at her, she failed. Come on. They're humans. They're not people who are without humanity. They're not from another country, another universe.
No.
And there's nobody that's a human being that is without sin.
that cannot fall short of the glory of God.
True.
And so the nearer we come to perfect cleanliness of heart, the more we mourn over the tiniest spot of sin. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You go, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, have mercy, Lord. I didn't mean to do that. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Lord, I thought I had outgrown that one. But sometimes the Lord will show us it's still some work that has to be done. Well, hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Amen, Wall. We're saved, but we're not completely delivered from the tendency to sin. Come on, somebody.
Dr. Susan,
so then, yes.
That point that you were making, why do we just, we have instructions. You know, why do we beat other people up at sin? We are instructed that we who are spiritual, are we ought to do what? When we find a brother in a fault, when we find a sister in a fault, what are we supposed to do? We who are spiritual, those who are spiritual, you go and pray for such a one, considering what? Yourself, unless you also fall the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So that sums it up, what you were just talking about. What you were just talking about. Because we might have one of them days.
Yes.
Hello.
Well.
And we're going to need somebody to restore us.
You might fall short of
the
glory. Amen.
To restore such
and
a one in the spirit of meekness.
But this is why we should not act as if we holy, holy, holy rollers, and that we don't ever make any mistakes, and that we're above anything that anybody else can do and hit my ring. And we got to get over that because we can't walk around lauding, acting as if there are only a handful of people who are special, who don't ever make any mistakes, who are the next thing to God. We got that doesn't exist. So and people will try to make you believe that. And I'm here to say I believe that those who are mature in Christ need to be open and authentic with the young people coming, so that they know that, yes, you will fall, but God is able to help you be resilient, to help you bounce back again. And when you bounce back, you go running back to that throne with the clear glass where the emerald rainbow is around the throne. And you go back and you remember that there were 24 elders around there who were laying prostrate, throwing the crowns down, going, hold it, hold it, hold it, Lord, thou God Almighty. And then you remember that nobody was worthy to open the book but the Lamb. And that same Lamb is the same one that got, come on now, that died on the cross to give you an opportunity. So if you accepted Christ as your one and only and personal Savior and you fall short, then that very Christ who loved you when you were in sin, when you were enemies, what more do you expect him to do when you're his only, when you his child,
when you are,
and you fall short?
Yes.
What do you expect?
Restore me.
You know
he's
going to be there. You know he's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know he's going to provide for you. You know he's never going to leave you or forsake you. You don't have to believe the lie of the enemy who will tell you that God is gone. God ain't going to forgive you. God, don't believe not one lie.
Mm-hmm.
Not one lie. Send him back to the pit of hell, never to return.
Amen.
But he talks about longing for our resurrected bodies. He says another reason for this winter of our discontent is our bodies. Paul calls the body vile. Now, you know we got people. Put your phones on mute. You know we have people who are struggling, and that even though the Bible tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we fall short. The body is a temptation. The body struggles. The mind, we want to obey, but the body is also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so you got to understand that we're going to be tempted. And the scripture says here, we should be eternally grateful that we have been made human beings. That is, if we also have been made new in Christ and have put on the new man, the body came under the power of death through the fall, okay, and it remains under that power. So when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that's when the body became under the power of death. But die so that we can have life. And when we accept
Hallelujah.
Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we know that when we die, we will be resurrected with him. Even then, the body, it has to change.
Praise
right?
God.
We can't even enter into heaven in this state. We have to enter with, what is it, spirit and no, we have to be spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We worship in spirit and truth. In order to enter the heavenly
yeah.
realm, we have to be in a different body. It has to be spiritual. So our poor
yeah.
bodies have to understand that they have to be transformed. The aches and pains, the weariness, the struggle, we won't have to deal with this. That's just temporary.
Hallelujah.
But we can put on the wedding dress. I like the way he says this. The wedding dress of the spiritual body. Doesn't that sound romantic?
Yes,
the
it does.
Wedding dress. When we will be and meet with our Lord. When we will be the bride. Woo!
Yeah.
And because
Hallelujah.
It says, because sin dwells in the heart and we're clothed in mortal clay, we're glad that our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, and we long to enter into the full enjoyment of it. When do we enter into the full enjoyment, Bishop?
The full enjoyment of it is when we are, when John said it this way, we shall, when we see him as he is, we shall be like him. That's when we,
mm.
when we see him as he is, we shall be, glory to God. Mm. We shall be like him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the fullness
and
of
our
enjoyment.
Salvation will be so wide that it will cover all of our needs. It'll cover all of our desires.
Yes.
The salvation that awaits us, whose parameters are immense, and guess what? Praise God, the word eternal, forever and ever and ever and ever. That's why we are saved by hope. By hope we've taken hold of this great and wise salvation. So let me say this one last thing. The goal of our hope is complete perfection in Christ.
Thank
what
you.
Are we talking about? What do you think we're talking about
Thank
when we
you,
talk
Lord.
About complete perfection in Christ? Margaret, do you know? Bishop,
well,
do you know? Anybody want to talk about that?
First John chapter 3, verse 3, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So we have the hope that of our salvation that it says we can purify ourselves when we give ourselves to the Lord and accept him as our Savior. There's a
Amen.
Momentary time, and then we go and do something else.
Bishop, what else do you think of
that,
Bishop?
For the complete perfection.
The complete perfection.
Is it's defined as living in our body?
When
our bodies
have
been glorified, when we've been translated,
yeah.
when we've been transformed,
yeah.
no more arthritis, hallelujah.
Amen.
No more sickness or disease. No more trick knees, right? Everything's going to work more. I'm going to say this word, and it's how my uncle used to talk. It's going to work more better than what we ever could imagine.
I want to say when we enter into our eternal life, for now we are in a
yes.
finite life
yes.
that will come
yes.
to an end.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. It
when
we
are glorified
retain,
with Christ.
We hope in expectation for a day when not a taint of past sin or inclination for future sin remains in us. But that's only after we've been transformed.
Yeah.
Now, he said we still retain free will and freedom of choice, but we will only choose the good. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on, right there.
Hallelujah. We will only choose the good.
Amen.
There will be no sin in us. And this way we experience unbroken happiness. Ignorance will no longer exist, for we'll all be taught by the Lord and we'll know as we are known. We will be perfect in our service to God and completely delivered from all self-will and the desire of the flesh. We will be near to our God and we will be like him. Oh, hallelujah. What a heaven this will be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And then we have the redemption of our bodies, and we will talk about that next week, the redemption of our bodies and the nature of our hope. And we will close out this chapter and pick up the next one. So, Bishop, would you like to?
Yes. I would love to. We're talking about being saved by hope, and hope can be defined as a joyful, pleasant anticipation of a good outcome in spite of present circumstance. So no matter what it's looking like for you, there's going to be a good outcome. You get saved. You ask the Lord to come into your life. And I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want you to pray along with me. And at the end of this prayer, I want to say something that we do this every week. And when we do this at the end, for those of you that pray with us, it is the greatest miracle that can ever happen. Better than curing cancer, better than healing the common cold. Salvation is the greatest miracle. So if you want to be part of the greatest miracle, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you, a sinner. I ask that you would accept me and receive me into the kingdom. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to come live inside of me. Thank you that I am saved. Now, if you prayed that prayer, my friend, welcome to the family of God. All of heaven is rejoicing that you have come to be part of the family of God. You are a newborn babe in Christ, and we welcome you to the family of God. Praise God. Dr. Susie is coming back at this time. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you've prayed that prayer, read your Bible. Get into a Bible-believing church. Start with John, because it tells you who Jesus is. Start with, and then after that, you're going to have to learn how to praise God. The Lord at all times, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. Praise God. So read the book of Psalms. And you're going to need some wisdom in this life, and especially in this time that we're living in, read the book of Proverbs. So that's John, Psalms, and Proverbs. Everything else will start making sense to you after that. Dr. Susie's back.
Hey, man, Margaret, did you have anything you wanted to say as we close, a reminder? Or a big take-homes to remember?
I just want to encourage everyone to pray. Open up your hearts and minds and seek the Lord whilst you can in this life before it's too late.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So as we close tonight, we are just so excited to have you with us, and we thank you for joining us at Your Place Love Connection. And we will continue this next Tuesday. Be here with us at 7 Eastern Standard Time. And the number to call in, if you would like, is 646-478-4932. And join us in the studio. We're more than happy to have you with us. We ask that next week you bring someone with you, as we will be working on the next chapter after we finish Saved by Hope, Saved in Hope. God's blessings be with you, and we look forward to having you join us next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you both. Love you too.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.